Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Morning. It's good to see you guys this morning. How's everybody doing? Good? I hope you guys are ready to have fun today. I have been excited about today's message. Before we get started, I want to catch you up a little bit. As Abby said earlier, we started a new series last week called Summer of More. And if you weren't here, I want to just catch you up to speed a little bit, or if this is your first time today. Last week, we started a conversation and just talking about a common feeling that we all have, that we all know the feeling of wanting more in our life. You probably can identify at least one area where you would say, I wish I had more, whatever it is. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's money. Maybe for you, you would say, I wish I had more success or more significance or purpose in my life. Maybe for you, you might just say, I wish I had more sleep. That's something that sometimes we all need a little bit more of. But I also told you last week that I think there are some myths out there about what we think about God's idea of more. And what we think about more in our life. And so I introduced the first myth to you last week, and it was this. We talked about that feeling that if I get too close to God, I'll have to give up the good things in my life. There are some areas of our life that we would all consider to be good things, things like money, time, success, our job, whatever it might be. And I told you that those are not just good things that you want. Those are all God things. Those are things that He designed and put in place long ago. We looked at a couple of verses and talked about what Paul has to say in the book of Ephesians on this topic of more. The first verse that we looked at was from Ephesians 2:10, and it says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." God put good things in place, and the good things that you want are also God things. They're things that He wants. And so I said, you don't have to be afraid of getting too close to God and worrying that He's going to take those good things from you. God doesn't want anything from you. He wants more and everything for you. And then we looked one chapter over in Ephesians 3:20, where Paul says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." See, God doesn't just want good things for you. He wants more good things for you than you've ever even began to ask Him for or think about for yourself. And so that is what this summer is all about. It's what we're talking about in this series. We're looking at those areas in our life where we would say we want more, where we're not feeling satisfied and fulfilled. And we're asking how God can increase our capacity for more in those areas of our life. So today we're going to talk about how God can give us more pleasure. More pleasure. Now, before you get uncomfortable, this is not that kind of talk. I'll save those for Pastor Trey. But you may be surprised by what I'm going to tell you today, because you may not associate God as a source of pleasure. You may not think that God is a source of pleasure in your life. But what I hope that you will leave here today knowing is that God desires for you to have more pleasure and more fun in life. You might think the very opposite of that. Some of you might actually think that following God is not fun. Following God is not fun. If you've ever felt that, or maybe you've thought that a life with God is boring or dull, or that God doesn't care about having a good time, I hope when you leave here today that you will have a different idea of God, because God is not the party pooper that you might think He is, or that you've created in your mind that God is dull. That's not who God is. What I told you last week is when we don't understand the character of God, we can misunderstand His ways. And so today we are talking about how God's character is so good that He wants us to have fun and enjoy life. I believe that He delights in seeing us have a good time and have fun. In fact, in 1 Timothy, Paul even says that God has given us everything that we need for our enjoyment. All of those good things that God gave us, he gave them to us so we could enjoy them, so that they could make us happy and bring us pleasure. And so today we are going to talk about how God has actually purposed you for pleasure. God has purposed you for pleasure. We already said that we are his masterpiece, that he has carefully crafted us and created us for good things. He did not thoughtlessly throw you together and haphazardly make you. He created you on purpose to enjoy good things. So since God is not a party pooper, we are going to do something fun today. Will you guys have fun with me today? I feel like y'all need to loosen up a little bit, okay? So we're going to do something fun. We've got some ushers who are going to be bringing around some baskets. And in those baskets are some bags. You guys are going to take a bag. I think they're coming in a minute. They're getting their things together. But it's going to be like Oprah show here today, okay? You get a bag and you get a bag. Everybody gets a bag. But don't get overly excited. We're not giving away cashmere or cars today. This is not that good, but we are going to have a fun time. So while they're passing around the baskets and you're taking a bag, I want you to think for just a minute about your five senses. See, what you may not know is I was a teacher before I came on staff at Wellspring. I taught in a classroom for 12 years. And are there any teachers in the room? Teachers. Okay, good. All good teachers know that if you really want your students to remember something, you give them a hands-on experience whenever possible, right? So today, we're going to experience something together. So when you get your bag, don't take anything out just yet. Just hang in there with me for a moment. I know it's really like you guys are a group of kids today. I'm asking you to be patient. I'm asking you to be fun and talk back to me. So we are going to experience something together today that I hope will help you remember that God has purposed you for pleasure. So think about your five senses. See, God has given you five senses, and not just one or two. He's given you five. So if something happens to one or two of your senses, you've got backups. And the purpose of your senses is to help you gather information and learn about the environment and the world around you. But your five senses also have a purpose to help you enjoy life and to enjoy pleasurable experiences. So think for just a minute about your sense of sight. Your eyes give you the ability to see the world in colors, like a beautiful sunset. How many of you have been to the beach or maybe been hiking or camping and you've had the opportunity to see the sunrise or even the sunset while you're walking at night or you're driving home from work and you see the sunset? All of us would look at this. We see the way that the sun lights up the sky and you see pink and orange and purple and blue and grays, and it all just works. And we look at that and we say, that is beautiful. It's gorgeous. That's your sense of sight. Your sight gives you the ability to look at the stars in the sky at night or to look at the vast expanse of that blue ocean with wonder. Your eyes give you the ability to look at your child smiling and the way that their eyes light up when they're really happy, and it gives you joy. Your sense of sight allows you to look at your husband or your wife and like what you see. That's your sense of sight, and that is God-given sight. Think about your hearing, your sense of hearing. You have two ears, and your ears allow you to hear the waves crashing on the shore or to hear rain falling in a rainstorm. We've heard a lot of that this week if you've been around Myrtle Beach this week. Your ears give you the ability to hear birds chirping or to hear a funny joke and to hear laughter around you. That's your sense of hearing. Your ears give you the ability to hear music and let it transform the way that you feel. It transforms your whole mood. Listen to this. It's going to start. Y'all can sing along. This is the sing-along time. Remember I said we were having fun today?
Story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
See, you know this. I told you we were going to have fun today. When you hear, now you're laughing, and your whole mood has been lifted up. That is your sense of hearing, and God has given you the ability to do that. I want you to reach into your bag and take out that little blue ribbon that's in there. I figured out first hour that these bags are going to be really noisy. I didn't anticipate that, but this is just use your sense of hearing. It sounds like rain falling. Take out that little blue ribbon. Feel how silky and smooth it is. That's a soothing texture. You find that satiny ribbon a lot on baby blankets because it's a soothing feeling. I had a blanket like that when I was a little girl, and I slept with it every night, rubbed it between my fingers when I went to sleep because that's soothing. Or your sense of touch gives you the ability to embrace someone that you love or to feel those sweet cuddles and kisses of your kids when they come climb into bed with you early in the morning. Your sense of touch allows you to hold a warm mug of coffee in your hand and that comforting feeling that it gives you early in the morning. Or to jump into a cold swimming pool on a hot day and let that water refresh you. That is your sense of touch. Think for a minute about your sense of taste. Take out that pixie stick in your bag and feel free to eat it. It might be weird to eat a pixie stick in a room full of people, but it's okay. We are experiencing this together today, so just embrace it. How much pleasure do we get from food, right? Hallelujah. The joy we get from food. And God could have made you just to experience one flavor, one food, just for the sole purpose of staying alive and surviving, but he didn't. He gave you the ability to taste sweet and salty and sour and bitter and spicy. Did anybody make salsa this week, by the way? Anybody? A few of you did. God could have made you any way he wanted, but he gave you the ability to taste all kinds of food, thousands of different flavors, and to enjoy it. And all of our taste buds are a little bit different. And then finally, think about your sense of smell. Inside your bag, there's a cinnamon stick. You probably already smelled it when you opened the bag. I wanted those cinnamon sticks in there because cinnamon is such a distinct smell. And when you smell it, you know what it is. One of my favorite times of year is the fall. And the smell of cinnamon makes me think of the fall and how, you know, I smell freshly baked goods in the oven or Christmas time. It reminds me of home. But you might like the smell of freshly cut grass or the sweet smell of a baby's skin or maybe fresh baked cookies or the smell of a campfire. I know some people, my husband is like, he loves a box of fresh crayons. Does anybody like the smell of fresh crayons? Okay, I got a yes. See, there's some people that you have a weird sense of smell like that. But our senses are tailored to us. You are a masterpiece, and God has given you all of those senses for your enjoyment. And all of those things help us to enjoy life and experience life in a whole new way. What else in all of creation has the ability to experience life and enjoy the rest of creation the way that we do? See, God has purposed you for pleasure. And I believe that God wants us to have fun and enjoy life. Moms, how many of you here live with Fun Dad? Do y'all know who Fun Dad is? I do. I live with Fun Dad. I see some points. Some of y'all are pointing. By the way, if you are Fun Dad, take out that connection card in the back of your seat and fill out that you want to serve in Wellspring Kids because that is the place for you if you are Fun Dad. Let me tell you who Fun Dad is. Fun Dad is the life of the party. He brings like 85% of the fun that happens at home. Fun Dad is the one who starts wrestling matches and tickle wars right before bedtime. Fun Dad, he does things like pranks his kids or surprise attacks everybody, even mom, all the time. At my house, Fun Dad serves dessert most of the time. And so if we were having ice cream, I might say, here, kids, here's a scoop of ice cream, vanilla ice cream. Well, Fun Dad says, here's two scoops of ice cream, and here's chocolate syrup, and here's some sprinkles, and here's a cookie. That's Fun Dad. Are you with me? Fun Dad, like, lets the kids stay up late and watch the end of a football game, even if it's a school night. And while it can be inconvenient for us as moms sometimes, Fun Dad, his purposes and his motives are completely out of love and affection for his kids. He just wants to make their life awesome. He wants them to have an amazing life and have fun. That is who Fun Dad is. And so God is kind of like Fun Dad. He wants us to have fun. He wants us to have an amazing life. But there are things that Fun Dad won't do. There are boundaries that he won't cross because he wants to keep his kids safe. He wants to protect his kids, and he doesn't want to see them get hurt. So, for example, Fun Dad might take his son out into the backyard and give him a BB gun, but he's going to teach him how to use it in a safe way and probably give him a target to shoot at. He's not going to give him a loaded gun and say, go have fun and play. He would not do that because he doesn't want to see his kid get hurt. We went to Alabama a few weeks ago. That's where I'm from, and my family lives there. And we went, and we were going to go hiking. And eight kids we were taking hiking. And so before we got started, my brother and my dad were kind of leading the pack. And before we got started, they gathered up the kids, and my brother said, okay, we want you guys to have fun, but don't go where we can't see you. Don't go down any paths that are too far out of sight, and don't get too close to the edge of a cliff. Don't pick up any snakes. And so our kids had the best time. They had so much fun. They climbed every boulder. They picked up sticks. They poked at beetles. They picked up toads. They had a great time. But they didn't get hurt because we had laid out the proper boundaries for them. And that's what God does. God is like Fun Dad. He wants us to enjoy life and explore his creation, but he doesn't want to see us get hurt. And so he knows that we need boundaries. And because he made us and we're his masterpiece, he knows the boundaries that we need. God knows that we can get out of control sometimes and that we need some parameters because we tend to take things too far. For example, I know you know what I'm talking about when I talk about Thanksgiving dinner, that how many of you at Thanksgiving dinner have had turkey and dressing and sweet potato casserole, and you are stuffed and you know you cannot eat one more bite. But then your mom comes out with pecan pie and ice cream, and you can't say no to that. You cannot say no to that. So you indulge yourself in pecan pie and ice cream, and then a few minutes later you're saying, why did I do that? You guys are gonna have to roll me out of here. You are miserable because you overindulged. God knows that we have a tendency to do that. And what was pleasure-producing can become pain-producing. God has given us the ability to have pleasure, and pleasure is fun, but pleasure turns to pain when we don't follow God's path. Pleasure turns to pain when we don't follow God's path for pleasure. He has given us good things, and he wants us to enjoy them. But sometimes we take those God-given gifts and we use them in God-forbidden ways. We can take the pleasure of a job well done and turn it into workaholic. We can take wine and turn it into alcoholism. We can take food and turn it into gluttony, or rest and leisure and turn it into laziness and neglect. We can take something like the relationship of a person that we really love and turn it into idolatry and elevate that person above God in our life. We can take things too far sometimes. What is meant to be pleasure producing can sometimes turn into pain producing. I want to explain a little bit more about what this might look like. And for you, maybe it's different, but these are just some scenarios that I know of. Let's say you come home from work every night and you have a drink to unwind. And that's fine. But one day, maybe you need two drinks to unwind. And then that turns into three or four drinks, maybe more, till finally your wife is sitting across from the table from you one night and she's crying and she's wondering why you can't come home from work and just be with the family without a drink. And she's hurt. Ladies, maybe it looks like for you, you go out and you buy a couple of pillows and a new rug to freshen up the family room. And your friends come over and they are oohing and aahing over your design skills and it makes you feel good. So then you want to go and paint the walls in the family room. And then the new coat of paint leads to buying new furniture. And the new furniture leads to buying some bookshelves. And then you need some trinkets to go in the bookshelves. And while you're building your self-esteem through your design abilities, your husband is frustrated because what started as a few pillows has now turned into a whole room overhaul, and your bank account is now strapped. And so there's very little pleasure and a whole lot of tension. Students, maybe you send a picture to someone on their cell phone, and it was just meant to be fun. There was no harm meant, but that picture got forwarded and sent to someone else and someone else. And now some people's lives have been hurt and affected in some really painful ways. See, what we mean for pleasure, when we're not careful, when we don't follow God's path for pleasure, can become painful. Pleasure turns to pain when we don't follow God's path. And I know you know what I'm talking about, and you can probably identify with that pain that follows pleasure sometimes. But there is hope. The good news is there is hope. Because as we've said, you are a masterpiece and you are made for more. God has purposed you for pleasure. And so there is a way for us to enjoy life and have so much fun and have a full and satisfying and rich life. And so how do we do that? It's by understanding this truth, that God's path produces the best pleasure. God's path produces the very best pleasure for us. His word is full of all kinds of principles that lead us to his path for our pleasure. And the way that we experience the most pleasure is by staying close to God's path for pleasure. Just in the book of Proverbs alone, I want to just read you some of the ways that God's principles are reflected for our pleasure. It says, commit your actions to the Lord and you will be successful. Honor the Lord with your wealth and he will fill your barns with good grain. Honor your mother and father and you will have a long and happy life, students. Live sensibly and you will find pleasure. That's just all in the book of Proverbs, and that's just the short list. It goes on and on and on. God has a plan and a path for pleasure in every area of your life, including your marriage and your friendships and your job and your success and your purpose, even your rest and especially your pleasure. God's path for your pleasure produces the best life possible. Over the last few weeks, our oldest daughter, who's headed into middle school, has developed more of a need for a cell phone. She's had a phone that she can play games and take pictures and things like that. But as she's getting older, of course, she wants to be able to text her friends and talk on the phone and things like that. And so we, as her parents, obviously see the pros and the cons of a technology like that in the hands of a middle schooler. And we understand that it can be a very useful piece of technology, but it can also be a dangerous device if it's not used properly. So we have outlined for her some boundaries and taught her the proper respect for using the phone. And it's not because we want to cage her in or make her life boring and not fun. It's because we want to protect her. We want to protect her, and we know how dangerous it can be if it's not used properly. And so God is like that. God has a path for pleasure that is for your protection. God's path for your pleasure is for your protection. You are his masterpiece. He does not want to see you get hurt or damaged or see your life ruined. And so he has laid out principles in his word that are for your protection, to give you the very best life. Jesus often taught in parables and stories that helped people relate and understand easily what he was teaching. And in John chapter 10, he uses the image of a flock of sheep and a pasture to explain how he is the gate that leads to the green pastures. He says, "You're the sheep and I'm the gate. If you want to get to the best, greenest, most luscious pastures, you've got to come through me. I am the gate that leads to green pastures where the really good stuff is." And then in John 10:10, he says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." He's saying, watch out, because the enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to take from you. Pastor Trey has talked before about how Satan is like a con man. And what he does is he offers you less and tries to convince you that it's more. See, the enemy would say something like, "It's okay if you sleep with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. They're going to love you more. You're going to be closer to them, and you're going to have a better relationship." But then a few months later, he's not your boyfriend anymore, and he's sleeping with somebody else. That's the enemy. He wants to convince you that it's going to be better, and it's not. The enemy might say to you, "It's okay if you take one more pill. I know what the doctor said, but you're going to feel better and you're going to be able to do so much more if you just take one more pill." But the truth is, you're not yourself anymore, and you can't even function without the pills, and you've become a slave to them. But the enemy, he wanted you to think you needed it, that it was going to give you more fulfillment. I don't know what it is for you. It could be anything that the enemy tries to convince you is going to give you more fulfillment and more satisfaction, but in truth, it's just giving you less. So Jesus is saying, be careful, watch out. The enemy wants to destroy you, and he wants you to know that he is the only one who can give you the most rich and satisfying life. He is the gate that leads to the green pastures. I want to read you a passage from Psalm 23. I love this passage of scripture, and it's not going to be on the screen. I just want to read it over you this morning while you listen, because this is such a clear picture to me of how life, when we are following Jesus, is just so much better because he offers us those green pastures. Sometimes we hear this passage of scripture read at a funeral or something like that, and we equate it to eternal life in heaven with God. But I think the psalmist wants us to know that this is really a passage about how following Jesus gives us so much peace and rest and pleasure. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies." See, I love how he's saying that even when we are walking through the darkest moments of our life, we can experience pleasure. Because when we're walking with Jesus, he is our protection. He is comforting us, and he is still giving us the very best, peaceful life. He says, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." God's goodness and pleasure does not stop. It keeps going and going and going. He is an endless source of pleasure and goodness for us. I know if you've been listening today, maybe you are with me and you're understanding that God has purposed you for pleasure, and that his path for you is for the best pleasure. And even you understand that he wants to protect you. But you might be saying, but how do I know God's path for my pleasure? And so I want to give you today, before we close, just a few quick ways, and you may want to jot these down, some practical ways that you can find God's pleasure in your life. The first one is read the Bible. Read the Bible. If you've ever heard me teach before, you know how passionate I am about this book, books. This is God's path for our life right here. If you want to know how you can find the most pleasure in life, it's written right here in the pages of his word. These principles reflect God's path for your pleasure. But if you want to know what that path is, you can seek it out in his word. And the next one is, learn from others who are ahead of you. Every week at Wellspring, Pastor Trey brings us a message that helps set us on the path that God has for our life. If you want to know what God's path is for your pleasure, learn from other people who have been there ahead of you. Because at Wellspring, we say circles are better than rows. You need to get around one or two other people at least who can help point you in the direction that you need to go, who are going to hold you accountable to knowing and growing in God's path and pleasure for your life. That's why we tell people to get connected in a circle so that those people can pray for you and support you and help you know where to go. And then the next one is evaluate the rhythm of your pleasure. Let me explain what I mean by that. Sometimes you need to ask yourself some hard questions. You need to say, am I pouring on too much pleasure? Can I give up my pleasure preferences when I want to and when I don't want to? You need to ask yourself some questions like, do I ever come home from work and not have a drink? Can I come home from work and not have a drink? Can I go into Target and buy only what is on my list? It's hard. Can you have just one cookie? Do you ever shut off Facebook and not check how many likes you got today? Sometimes you need to ask yourself some hard questions about where your source of pleasure is, and are you pouring on too much? See, when you become a Christ follower, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. It's an amazing and supernatural thing. And the Holy Spirit acts like a system of checks and balances in your heart. And so when you hear that little voice in the back of your mind saying, don't make that purchase, don't eat that third cookie, that's the Holy Spirit helping you stay on God's path for your pleasure. Listen to that voice. Listen to that voice. And then the last thing is trust God with your pleasures. Trust God with your pleasures. He made you. You are a masterpiece, and he is qualified to give you pleasure. Maybe you just don't think to go to him as your source for pleasure. But if you will go to God and say, would you help set me on the path for pleasure in my life in a way that is for my protection, in a way that's going to keep me safe from pain and destruction, he will. And pleasure God's way takes practice. You might not get it right every time or the first time. It takes practice. But when you begin to experience God's path for your pleasure, you will see that it is better, that it is where the green grass grows, and that God really does want you to have a rich and satisfying life. So as we close today, what I want you to know is that following God can be fun. It can be fun because God has purposed you for pleasure. He has purposed you for pleasure from the very beginning. You are a masterpiece. He has made you for more. He has made you for good things. And he is not okay for your life to just be mediocre and ho-hum. He wants the very best, most satisfying, and fun life for you. Following God is not boring. Following God is full of adventure. It is full of adventure and exciting things. And when you stay on God's path for your pleasure, you will know, you will taste and see how good God is. One other thing I want to leave you with today is you may be sitting here today and saying, I know I'm not experiencing too much pleasure in my life. Maybe you aren't experiencing any pleasure or very little pleasure in your life. It could be because you are so bogged down by the pressures of your life that you aren't experiencing the pleasures of life that God has purposed you for. If you identify with that, I've been where you are. You're so pressed for time and so bogged down by pressures that you aren't experiencing any pleasure. I want you to come back next week because there is hope for you, and I think you will find it here next week. We are going to tackle the topic of time, and we're going to be discovering how God can give us more time. So come back next week and join us again. I want to pray for you before we go. God, thank you for creating us a masterpiece. You have made us for more and purposed us for pleasure. Father, I believe that you want us to experience the very best life, that when we follow your path, you will lead us to the best pleasure for us, that you want good things for us and you've purposed us to enjoy all of those good things. Help us to find it. I pray that as we lean in, as we move towards you, our master, that you would help us to experience the best, most rich, and fun life possible. That we would be aware of our source of pleasure, that we would go to you for pleasure, that we would look to your principles in your word, that you would show us how to experience more in the area of fun and excitement in our life. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for wanting good things for us. Thank you that you're not satisfied with a mediocre life for us, but that you want more for us. I pray that we would find it. If there's anyone here today who is searching for more pleasure and more fulfillment, that they would seek it out in you, their loving Father who's created them and made them for more. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.